She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here live from the studio for today's ASN Coaches Show. I am Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Mr. Watson. How's your day going?
It's been a great day so far. I'm excited for Christmas coming up, so it's really looking forward to a good week.
Good feeling around Pendleton Heights, and I think you can translate into all the sports here at Pendleton Heights. Of course, this is our coaches' show, so we're going to jump straight in. First, we're going to talk about boys basketball. Sitting at a pretty awkward 1-4 record, boys basketball hasn't really hit their stride yet. They got one win, that was LaPel, and then this week they played one team, that was Mount Vernon, at Mount Vernon. It's always tough. They're our school rival. You call that the battle of what, Mr. Watson?
It's the State Road 67 showdown.
Okay, that makes sense. There you go. In that game, Cooper Sims, he led the team 11 points, 1 assist, 2 steal, 4 for 9 from the field goal. Just couldn't really get things going. I mean, Pendleton Heights, they shift to a 3-based offense, and it's really got me thinking, do they need to shoot more threes? I feel like, from a broadcaster standpoint, they don't shoot enough. When they shoot, I compiled some stats for you, Mr. Watson. Their highest on the season for a lot of their shooting stats was against LaPel. They attempted 21 threes, their most on the season. They made 10, most on the season. Highest three-point percentage all season was at LaPel, that one 48%. And most total shots they put up their season was at LaPel, and that was their only win. So that kind of just begs me the question, do you keep going, keep that through as into further games?
And I think I'd tell you, so they were up late in that Mount Vernon game with about 4 minutes left, and they just couldn't put it away. But I think one of the things that you'll see is with Coach Buck and all of his coaching experiences, he's going to find the identity of this team. That one of the keys to being a good basketball team in the state of Indiana is making sure that you find your identity, and that takes some time. As you get into Christmas and as you come out into the new year, that team's going to really find their stride if that is shooting or if it's not. I'm confident that Coach Buck's going to right the ship.
Yeah, and I mean, that was their only game, but they've got some great games ahead of them. They've got a very tough schedule, but, you kind of got to start to wonder, when are they going to hit this stride? Tournament play is coming up soon, and then after that, way looking further is sectionals. And, they want to make deep runs into sectionals, ideally win some titles, put some hardware in the, put some plaques in the hardware. You know what I mean. Yeah, you get the idea. That's the goal. And right now, 1-4, I mean, they're lucky it's not an elimination. So, you really got to start to wonder where to hit your stride. Your leading scorer, Cooper Sims, 16 points per game. He's shown some bright lights. He kind of needs a little bit of help. And it's the same thing with the girls' side of things. I'll talk about it later. But, when Ada Huffer can't get going right alongside Casey Warfel, they don't succeed. And the Pendleton Heights boys basketball team kind of has that same problem where if they can all go, they're going to be great. If a few players are shut down, they're not going to execute on full cylinders.
Yeah, and it's a leadership thing, and they know that, right? So I think the biggest thing to remember as you're heading into December and then into tournament play, into sectional play, is that the leaders are going to step up and lead, right? So it just comes from that. It comes from the locker room, and it's making sure that you trust your leaders. And even though you see the record, you don't need to focus on that fully. It's going to come back to we need to be good at what we do, and we need to continue to get better at that. And that's how you build out of a 1-4 and start turning around. It's a long season. There's 26 games in a high school basketball season at least. And so that they're going to have some time to turn that around.
Yeah, and I think, I mentioned just taking more threes. I mean, I'm not a coach, so take everything I say with a grain of salt, but maybe you just need to put up more shots. Pendleton Heights High School, their basketball team, 49% from the field this season. National average is 41%. That's better than average. You'll take that all the time. You can get that as high as you want. Do you need to start taking more shots? I feel like they don't take a lot as a team.
I think I would say, you got to find the balance between that. So it's if you're taking more shots, if you're taking worse shots, you're going to drop that a little bit. But there is something to be said about making sure that you find that balance between taking just the best shots you can take versus just chucking up whatever you can find. And as they continue to find that balance throughout the years, I think you can expect to see the PPG go up.
Yeah, I've talked to Coach Buck, and he's been pretty pleased within the past few weeks of, we're taking really good, clean looks. And, it's a matter of the fact if the basket will fall. If it's our night, it's really worked. We saw it against LaPel, but, that's again, got to start translating into some of the few games here, and we're going to see success. And, you know, that success isn't just determined by the number in the win column. Yeah. You know, you look on paper and it really is, but, you know, seeing who this team is and what they've achieved, that's not what it is. And there's so much beyond the court that has happened, and they've got to where they are now. And it's just, when is that going to start adding in the win column?
Well, and I got to actually peek in at the practice today for the boys team, and Coach Buck and his assistant coaches had slowed it down, and we're really talking through, you know, what's the goals of our offense, what's the opus of our offense, and it, again, these are still students, these are still young adults, and they need to learn and understand those concepts in full, and as they continue to do that this year, Coach Buck has been in this position before with a team that maybe has had a slow start, but he's been able to have them turn it on later in the year. And I think we'll start to see steps at that. The next step comes in the next game, and that's how it's going to continue to be through to February.
Yeah, I think it's something to mention also. You know, it's almost Christmas break here at Pendleton Heights. It's finals time this week. And players are going to be stressed. I mean, that happens with everyone. It is high school basketball, so it is kind of, you know, the same on all sides of the ball, but you wonder how that takes effect in a basketball game. Of course, I can't imagine it makes you better. I don't know many people that perform great under stress, but it's going to affect the players, and we're going to see that into next week. I mean, tomorrow, the boys taking on 5-1 Garen Catholic.
Yeah, and Garen Catholic has one of the better players in the state statistically so far this year. That's the son of Brian Cardinal, Purdue grad, Mavericks player. And, I mean, he's going to be one of the best players that they face all year. And maybe your leaders are going to come up and you're going to be able to see them. If they can start to shut him down earlier, if they can start to contest against him in the scoring column, that's going to be where you see your leaders. You find your leaders in moments of stress. You find your leaders at 1-4, and you find your leaders during finals week, right before a holiday. And it's going to be exciting and very telling to see who's stepping up as a leader on this team in the upcoming games.
Yeah, and I mean, as a leader, you kind of mentioned it. This is the time they need them most. I mean, going against Bryson Cardinal, 6'8". How do you guard someone 6'8"? I believe they saw maybe 6'4"-ish against LaPel. That was Brode and the Judge brothers. They were both pretty tall. They've seen some height, but this is going to be the tallest player they've seen so far, and I think for a while. So, you know, that begs the question. I mean, Coach Buck has been a coach for 15, 20 years. He's seen all things high school basketball, I can assume. But Bryson Cardinal, he's definitely a person for the books.
Well, and I had the privilege of watching Al Gooden, who was Lawrence Central's coach for a while, back when he was up at New Haven. He had a 7-foot-1 player in Steve McElveen that continued on to Dayton. And the way that teams found to beat him, and Coach Gooden's an Indiana basketball Hall of Famer, the way they found to shut down Steve McElveen is to just compress him into the paint. You have to make Cardinal a one-dimensional player. And if they can do that, whether it's just shooting or just in the paint, that's the way that you kind of chip away at a player like that. You're never going to fully stop somebody like that. But can you find ways to combat against them that really complements the ways that you've been successful?
Now, flipping to the other side of things, girls basketball here at Pendleton Heights, they played two games this season. The first, Tuesday the 10th at Hamilton Southeastern. Pendleton Heights lost that one 53-33. The leading scorer for the Arabians is Casey Warfel, 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 steals. And then right behind her, Ada Hufford, 6 points and 11 rebounds. And I bring up Ada Hufford because, you know, I kind of said it earlier, when she doesn't get going, this Pendleton Heights Lady Arabian basketball team, they just struggle to find their footing. And they, you know, they got down early, and when you're in a hole, it's hard to get out of that. And I think they got to figure out how to solve that problem. I mean, those are your two best players statistically, but you got to figure out that problem.
Yeah, and that's one of the best parts and the worst parts of the 4-out-1 in offense is when it's working, it's so good. It's so lethal because your scorer in the paint can be hitting shots, but they can also be distributing to everyone around like Mammy Trout, like the Werfel sisters. And so when it's not working, it's then when you have to learn, all right, what can we switch to, whether it's a different scheme or if it's running through that center and telling that center, hey, it can't run through you at this time, or maybe they're having an off night. And that's one of the next steps for this team to really kind of break through to the next echelon.
Yeah, in that Hamilton Southeastern game, their star player, Maya Makaleski, 6'4", 19 points, 7 rebounds, Indiana University commit. Very great player, and I don't think they're going to see many other players like that. I mean, Hufford doesn't match up against many others similar height as her. She's 6'3", I believe, and it's one of the taller girls basketball players I've seen, and I'm a broadcaster. 6'4 is definitely a new record for me.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that you can't really drill in practice reasonably, and it's just one of those things you have to step up and figure out in the game since there isn't so many of them. And once you get through that and you're on the other side of it, you go, great, we did that. We don't have to do that again either for a while or again this year.
Yes, I mean, something to mention. But, you know, I talked about Anita Hupfer, how she struggles. Like, when the team is struggling, it's usually because Hupfer can't get going. A game where the Warfel and Ada really got going, and it showed, you know, why they're so successful together, was against Delta, that one on Thursday. Pendleton Heights won 76-48 at home, and Casey had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 steals, and Ada Hupfer 20 points and 12 rebounds. Nice double-double for her. Again, that just shows, I mean, that's what you want. On paper, that is what you want every time from Ada and Casey. And when it works there, you got to figure out how to translate that into the other games, more difficult ones, you know, Hamilton Southeastern, Lawrence Central, you get the idea.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we can say enough about the fact that two players in a high school basketball game were able to score 50 points combined. I mean, that's incredible. That's great leadership from them. And as we kind of talked about with the boys, thinking about the season as a whole, as you continue to move into the year, those are the games you need to build off of and remember. As you find the identity of the team, a game like that is an identity finder.
Yeah, I mean, that was Casey's highest points since LaPel in January 4th of this year. I mean, that's almost, we're about coming up on a year there. Casey had a great season last season, and her points per game this season is just a little bit lower than it was last season, but I mean, definitely hitting a high streak. This is our highest points in almost a year. So, I mean, congratulations to her, number one. She had 37 in that game against LaPel almost a year ago. That's pretty difficult to achieve. 30 points is pretty rough. And again, if she can get that translated into future games, the Arabians are going to be right.
Yeah. And it also shows, though, with 20 points from Hupfer, that it doesn't have to be just Casey Warfel. You know, if they're able to trust each other and run a two-man game, it'll start to open up other things for the rest of the team as the defense starts to really focus on those two, because they've just put that game and those statistics on film. So other teams are going to be able to watch that and work off of that, and that's when you get to see your other players start to shine as well.
Well, stay tuned. That's going to about wrap it up for this first segment. I'm going to talk to head coach of the Arabian boys basketball team, Coach Buck, break down their season so far, ask him some questions. So stay tuned for that. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is sponsored by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers. Located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420. Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Community Sports and Wellness, Fitness, Tennis, Pickleball, and Athletics. Located at 395 South Heritage Way in Pendleton. Phone 765-744-1606. Online at communitysw.com.
The camaraderie and community you experience in high school sports is unlike anything else. I'm McKenna Cruz from Greenwood Community High School.
And I'm Sawyer Tittman from Fort Wayne Snyder High School. Where else do coaches help their players develop as athletes and as human beings?
Where else do student athletes grow together and grow up together?
Where else do parents and fans from all walks of life come together as one to cheer on their team?
High school sports are special because coaches, student athletes, and fans know they are all in it together.
The camaraderie and community we experience is just one reason why we love high school sports and why it is unlike anything else.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Knighty. Be a champion of high school sports and the way they bring everyone together by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is unity. This is pride in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside head coach of the Arabian boys basketball team, Coach Buck. How's your day going so far?
It's been a great day.
Well, getting straight into things, the boys played one game this season. It was against Mount Vernon, and that one was a pretty tough loss for Pendleton Heights. Of course, you guys had the lead in the fourth quarter. What did you learn from that game? You know, after it was all said and done, it's kind of a frustrating loss against, you know, a rival of Pendleton Heights in Mount Vernon. So what did you learn from that game?
First of all, it was a very competitive game. I was very proud of our team, the way that they battled, and they were there to compete and to win. I thought they played like that. we dug ourselves a hole early and got down 14 points, but the team battled back and were able to cut it to 4 points at halftime. So going into the half, we didn't feel like we'd played extremely well offensively, but we're in a good position to only be down 4 points at that time. So proud of the team, the way that they didn't quit, they didn't give up, dug the hole, like I said, 14 points, and then battled back.
Now, I was looking at the stats, and of course, this year, you're a more three-point oriented team, and a few of them stuck out to me. These are all against LaPel, your win of the season. You've attempted 21 three-pointers, the most on your season. You made 10, the most on your season. Your highest percentage was against LaPel. What does that mean to you? Does that mean you need to take more shots from behind the arc, more shots in general? What do those stats mean to you, Coach?
Well, first of all, I've always said that I look to see if we're getting good shots. Some nights you just shoot the ball better than others. But if we're getting good shots, then we're happy with where we are offensively. We think that if we're getting good shots, then we're executing as far as whatever offense or whatever set it is we're running. But I've also been quick to point out and give credit where credit's due when I say that defense has a lot to do with how well teams shoot or don't. We have played, of our five games, we have played teams that play extremely aggressive man-to-man defense. Pressure on the ball, pressure on the passing lane, and I think that has affected our poor shooting or nights that we have not shot the ball as well as what we did at LaPel. I think that that's been a big factor. From time to time, we've had some hurried shots, but for the most part, it's just been a matter of shooting the ball a little bit quicker or a little bit deeper than what we're comfortable with because of the defensive pressure we have. I guess Mount Vernon, Hayden Fox, I think, hit his first two threes. Fortunately, we were in trouble. We needed a basket. Hayden hit two big threes for us to get us jump-started and coming back from the 14-point deficit. But from that point forward as a team, our stats show that we were only 2 of 10 for the rest of the night. And, you know, when you get to a close game like that, had you hit one here or there, possibly get over the hump and win that basketball game. But I give credit to Mount Vernon. I thought that their defense was very aggressive, especially on the ball, and that affected our shooting.
Now, after that game, what's the emphasis in practice moving on? You had about a few days. It was on Thursday. Your next game will be tomorrow at Guerin Catholic. You had a few days. What's the adjustment you make there? Is there any at all, or is it just getting better at the small things to hopefully, you know, equate to a team that is a lot more clicks together, if you would?
Well, we like to break games down and watch film and point out some of the things that we need to improve on. It helps for players to see that in a film breakdown. And then we take that onto the court and work on those things in practice. But when you only have a two-day turnaround like that to prepare for a really good team like Guerin Catholic, then you don't have a lot of time to break down. We were not able, the coaches watched film, but we were not able to break it down with our players. So we went right into the preparation for Guerin. Guerin creates a lot of problems for us. They can put 2 6-8s on the floor at a time. In fact, they can put 3 out there, and sometimes they do. So their size advantage is something that we have been working against. Whether we're going to play man or whether we're going to play zone, we have to be able to defend Big Cardinal, 6'8", probably going to be an Indiana All-Star, very good player. We have to be able to defend and get help on him in the post when you've got a Sean Singh that's 6', guarding 6'8". He's going to need some help. So that's the scheme that we're attacking defensively. Offensively, they play mainly man-to-man, and that's what we've played against for the most part this year, so that's just a matter of fine-tuning what we're doing offensively.
Now, you mentioned the Guerin Catholic game, so I'll start adding to that. Bryson Cardinal, 6'8", guarded by Ashawn Singh. Why does Ashawn always guard, I believe, the tallest player? Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
Yeah, so why is that the case? Do you have the most confidence in him, or where does that originally come from?
He's the most physical. Sean is by far the most physical, the strongest player that we have. And Sean is very good at keeping pressure on size. So if he's playing someone bigger than him, which normally he is, by having that pressure, constant pressure on their legs, on their body, they have to cut through a Sean, meaning that they want to go from the high post or the elbow to the low block. Sean's good at being in the way. They have to cut through him rather than just a Sean stepping away and letting them have a direct cut to wherever it is they're going. He's very physical with them. And that wears on players in a game. Also, when he blocks off, he has this physical strength to get pressure on them and to have a physical block off. And then he's good at once he sets the block off, he's good at going after the basketball once it comes off of the rim. So that's why he has been assigned to 6'6 Judge at LaPel that was very physical. And then same thing with Cardinal. We're going to have to be physical with Cardinal or he will just be able to manhandle us. He's very good at using his body and sealing when he's on the low block.
Kind of a more fun question here. Cardinal's father is an NBA player. What do you think that adds to a player? Of course, he's got a little bit more of a database to go back to if he's got a question about basketball. What do you think? I mean, it's not helping Pendleton Heights here. What do you think that does for a player?
Well, I think there are advantages, obviously, for a young man like that. There are advantages to having a father that was a very good basketball player at Purdue and played in the NBA. I'm sure dad helps to make him tougher, and play physical because that's the way his father played. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people are comparing him to his father, and that puts pressure a lot of times on a young man. I don't know if he feels that pressure or not, but sometimes they feel like they have to live up to the star power of their father or their brother, if that's the case. But, you know, he has improved a great deal. We've watched a lot of film, and Coach Baker and I have seen him in person twice. He's improved his all-around game. He's stepping out from behind the arc, shooting a lot of threes this year, and shooting it well. So he's a well-rounded player, and he plays so hard. I mean, he runs the court. You're going to see a Guerin team that they throw it off the board and go. I mean, they played at Muncie Central in a kind of a round-robin tournament on Saturday, and Yorktown played them to a four-point game in the first half, and Guerin won by 30. So that tells you what a second half Guerin Catholic had, and it showed up on film. They got into a transition game. They get it off the board, and they just go. And that's how they were able to score that many points in the second half. They did the same thing to Muncie Central. They beat Muncie Central soundly at Muncie earlier in the year, and they just flat-out ran Muncie. And normally it's just the opposite. Muncie outruns their opponents, but not with Guerin. So they have players that can shoot from behind the arc, and I just told you they can run and they have size. So very good basketball team, another team that's going to challenge us. But, you know, back to my team, if I could for a minute, I'm proud of where we are. Not proud of our record, but I'm proud of a team that I keep harping on, we work to try to get better. And I think that we have a team that's getting better. And I think that each game has shown that, especially at Mount Vernon, playing a talented team like that, to be able to maintain our composure, come back from 14 down, and then have the basketball with 2 minutes and under with a one-point lead. I'm very proud of our players for putting themselves in that position. We had two costly turnovers, had two straight possessions with a lead and made two costly turnovers, but we were being aggressive. Our players were being aggressive, and those were aggressive turnovers, and those things happen. But very proud of that. Looking at Cooper Sims, I thought Cooper had another good game for us. Only had one at halftime, had 10 big points in the second half. Once again, tried to take over in the second half and put us in a position to win. Hayden Fox, I mentioned, hit two big threes to get us going early when we were struggling to get one to drop. Hayden had 9 points, had three rebounds for us, and his turnovers were much lower than what he's had some games. So Hayden had a good game for us, always plays extremely well. Joe Estes is a player that I've said, Joe does a lot of things that go unnoticed, in the right spot, defensive, he talks, he works his tail off. Another player that keeps getting better, and he had six big rebounds for us over at Mount Vernon. Evan Mazingo, a player, once again, isn't scoring as many points because teams are really keying on him, face guarding him, not leaving him, not giving any help off of Evan, but he's doing so many other things for us. He had 7 points for us, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and then he had the job of guarding Ertl. We played zone in the first half, and Ertl had 11 points. But in the second half, when we went man, Ertl had 10. But if you remember, we fouled it at the end and put him at the line because of the clock. So he hit 4 free throws. So really, in 2 quarters, Evan held Ertl to 6 points, which was an outstanding effort. And then in the lapel game, I already mentioned, he held Judge to 9 points. So he's doing a great job on both ends of the court. A lot of people are worried about him not scoring. But once again, I give credit to the opponents, what they're doing defensively. And then Sean Singh, we've already mentioned, I think that he's getting better each game. He's working harder in practice. And he's doing, once again, a great job on defense. He's doing a great job on the boards. And Ashawn, when Ashawn gets going downhill, he's a load, meaning when he puts it on the floor and goes to the basket, he's doing a nice job of finishing, or he's doing a nice job of dishing to our three-point shooters because people are dropping off to take his drive. So overall, pleased with our players, the way they're playing, and we just have to continue to try to get better and improve.
Now, I asked you a similar question pretty recently, but, I mean, it's you're in a tough spot of the season right now, and I was telling Mr. Watson, we were talking about it, you know, your record doesn't define you guys as a team. And do you have to feel to tell that to your players pretty often? I mean, they're teenage boys. It's finals week here at Pendleton Heights. There's not a lot on their side right now. Do you have to feel the need to tell them, like, give them a pick-me-up, like, hey, we're doing great right now. We're seeing a lot of improvement. How do you see that as a coach?
Well, I think they're human, so most definitely. You and I have talked. It's difficult. Even if you have a team that feels like they're getting better, a team that's playing well and they don't win, that gets to you, especially a young person. So, yes, we talk a lot about our strengths, our weaknesses, try to point out our strengths and how we're improving. That's what we're trying to judge. And then we talk about the strength of schedule. You and I have talked about the John Harrell's website. The ratings that he has on there, he rates teams' strengths of schedule. Each week he changes that according to the opponents that you've played, the opponents that you have coming up, their rank, their scores. As of this week, we're ranked 6th in the state, of the 6th toughest schedule in the state. So, yeah, that's a factor. And I like to point that out to our players. Yeah, we're disappointed with our record. But being realistic, look at the teams that we're playing. And by playing those teams, we say we're getting better, but by playing that tough of a schedule, you're definitely going to get better. And that's what we try to point out. And that is something that I think our players believe. They look at those things as well. And that's helping to keep their heads up. And we're going in as another big underdog when we go to Guerin on the road. So we're going to see. I mean, last year we played Guerin, we were an underdog. They were ranked 4th in the state. This year they're ranked 3rd in their class. So last year we got a win. That was a big step for our team. You know, we're that's what we're looking for in going to Guerin, is to play well and to get better and to win. Each night we step on the court, we're playing to win.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview. Thank you for joining me, Coach, and good luck this next week.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, because I got the chance to sit down with Elijah Brindley, junior swimmer at Pendleton Heights High School. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here with
Eli Brindley.
Now, Eli, how's your day going so far? You're a swimmer here at Pendleton Heights High School.
It's going pretty well. How's your day going?
My day is going pretty good. Thanks for asking. So jumping into it, I believe you're a junior?
Yes, sir.
All right. So how'd you get into swimming originally?
So when I was younger, I did like some, I think I did swim lessons at a public pool in Muncie. And ever since then, I've just been swimming since. I got recruited to a swim team through those lessons because it's usually ran by like different clubs. And then ever since then, I've just been swimming.
Why swimming? You know, a lot of people pick baseball, football, basketball. Is just swimming just you work, you're good at it?
So I used to do like I did baseball and football, but with swimming, it was kind of just something that it was different. And once you get kind of good at it, you kind of can just keep getting good at it, and it helps prepare you for like a bunch of other sports because you get good endurance and strength and stuff like that. So it just kind of stuck out, and it's just the one that clicked.
Now, I mean, I know you because you're a student here. Do you keep up with like professional swimming? Like who's the top three swimmers right now?
The top three right now, like guys or girls?
I don't care. Any.
So I'd say for like both, it'd be like Katie Ledecky, Caleb Dressel, and like Leon Marchand, because he's some kid from Paris, and he won like a bunch of stuff at Olympics.
So like I keep up with football. I'm not a football player, but you get the idea. Yeah. That's pretty cool. What like mm-hmm. Have you had an interest outside of your actual swimming, or did you started swimming and you're like, oh, this is actually really cool, made a connection XYZ?
So like I started it, and then I kind of started learning more of like the sport, because when you're younger, they don't really teach you it. They're just trying to teach you how to do everything. And then once you like get older and get more into it, like 9 and 10, that's when they start teaching you, okay, you got these Olympians you can look forward to, and then you're gonna start doing these workouts that are more like complex, because this is how you'll progress. And then you learn more about how it's actually the sport and the love of it. And then you see all these people like Caleb Dressels and all them, and they will help like kind of push you and motivate you to get to all these places.
How much actually goes into it? As an outside viewer, I see 10 people in a pool going from A to B. It's got to be so specific. You got to get off right, yeah. Go into it.
So I'd say the first part is a training. Like the training is very crucial. It's year round. I mean, not even just high school, because most people, if you're a swimmer, you'll do club. So typically it's like March, like the end of March and like all of April off. And then you get all of August off, and that's it. Then you do mornings a lot. So right now during high school, we have morning practices on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, starting at 5:30. It's like 5:30 to like 6:45 or so. And then we have afternoon practices from 3 to 5. And then we have meets twice a week. So then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we don't have any practice. We just have our meets. And then we also have a Saturday morning practice from 7 to 9. So it's a lot of training. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of just not even just in the pool, because on mornings we go in the weight room and we do a lot of cardio, because you have to build up your cardio out of the pool. You have to do like a lot of weight training, because it's every muscle in your body, and it's not just like one. And then for like the technical aspects, it looks like it's just like 8 lanes, 8 people kind of doing different things. But realistically, it's you have to focus on your start, your turn, your stroke work. So it's not even just one person can beat you off a start, but if you beat them in the water, then you're golden. So it's like it's a really technical sport that people don't really realize that much about it.
What do the practices look like? Do they say, you know, Eli, you don't get off as well as this guy, this is what we're working on today? How do they, you know, individually go through that?
So typically we'll all be doing a set, but then we have sometimes like different days where for each stroke, you'll kind of divide into different lanes, and it'll be more of a thing of like, if a coach notices something during the set, he'll be like, okay, try and fix this now. But if you can't, we'll have like, let's say, for example, if I get told on a Tuesday, I got to have a better start or a turn. And maybe coach will be like, okay, we don't have time to work on this today. So on Friday, we'll have a whole practice dedicated to that for the whole team-wide, because I noticed this was something that we all struggled with at a meet. So it's kind of just like trying to help the whole team gain, but as well as you.
How does swimming work, you know, at meets? Is it individual point-wise? Is it as a team, you know, Pendleton Heights as a school? We'll go into that a little.
So each individual swimmer will gain points from how they like place in a race. So it's like a first, second, third in your heats, but then those will add up to your team totals, as well as the diving scores will factor into that as well.
Pretty similar to cross country, how I believe that works.
I believe so. I just know that it's like kind of each how you play. So like if you get first and third, it's not quite as good as first, but still a lot of points that'll add up. And it's just about your team totals through each event.
Is there a favorite like school? You're like, oh, I love to beat Mount Vernon. I love to beat this school.
Like that I love to swim against?
Yeah.
I like swimming against Yorktown, but that's because like I grew up there, so I know a lot of kids from there, so it's fun racing a lot of them, and they have a really good team down over there, so it's fun to always compete because we always put up a good fight with them.
All right, now looking team-wise, how do you guys build team chemistry? I mean, you're constantly together through meets and practices. I mean, you detailed how often you guys practice, but how well do you think your team chemistry is, and you know, who are the leaders of that?
So I'd say that we have one of the best chemistries that we've had in probably years, but we've had a good one for 3 years because we're all very good about trying to be uplifting and together because we spend so much time together. So you grow to have a bond with each other because we're all doing this work. So we all kind of have to lean on each other. So if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to lean on one of my teammates because we all got to uplift each other and help. So if one of us is off, the other one can just do double. Like, it's all about working. And like for the leaders, I'd say that it's a lot of, it's even like some of the freshmen though can be leaders because they can help push you to be better. So I'd say though, for right now, it's probably like Evan McKinney. And I mean, I don't want to sound like cocky, but I consider maybe myself to be part of the one who helps with that since I'm like an upperclassman. I've been around it for as well. And then for the girls side, I'd say that like Macy's a really big one.
All right. Favorite senior. Of course, you are a junior. So there's only one class ahead of you, but who's your favorite senior that you're going to miss the most?
I'd probably say Evan. Probably Evan McKinney because I've been with him since, I mean, even back in middle school, I still was with him for 2 years. So it's going to be weird not swimming with him because I've been with him like every year since sixth grade.
How much does that help?
Having someone that you've known for a while helps because you have that comfortability the second. Like when I got to high school, I knew some of the team that's, even though some of them have graduated now already, I knew them from when I was younger. So it helps that I already had that chemistry so that they could introduce me to the upperclassmen that I didn't know.
Your foot's in the door.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like you have some, it's like you have an inside man that you already know and they can help you get those connections that you need to succeed.
Favorite moment as a team or individual? What's your favorite moment in the swimming history of Eli Brindley?
I'd say probably my favorite moment was sectionals of my freshman year because we all like had a lot of fun. We all placed really well and it was a good experience to have such a big meet like that since that's kind of what we all build up for all season. I'd say that was probably my top moment I've ever had just to feel that success of a full season that you're constantly working, but you feel that success in that moment.
Where are we at right now in the swim season? Are we mid-season, end of the season? Where are we at?
I'd say right now we're in mid-season because we are about, I believe, a month and 2 days away from conference. And conference is kind of a good precursor to see how well can you do to sectionals because sectionals, I believe, is the second or third weekend of February. So you have like a month in between the two and it's trying to see, okay, conference is a good trial run, see how good you're doing. But sectionals is like, okay, where can we really improve by then? Because that's where everything really matters.
Is there a set goal? Like, we want to do this. Like, you know, we want to win sectionals. We want to do this. Is there a set goal at the start of the season?
Our set goal that we've had, and along with our coaches for the boys team, that he especially wants us to win conference this year. That has been our goal. That's like where our eyes are on because that's, we haven't done that in forever. And that's our goal, just to win conference this year.
Does that change? Like, now we're midseason. Is it like, all right, we actually know who we're dealing with. We can win the next thing.
I think as of right now, we're trying to kind of keep our eyes set on one thing at a time because I think that's the best way that we know how because we've been racing some conference meets. We had the past two meets and it's trying to see how can we move things around and maybe try to be more ready for conferences. It's such a big and competitive meet. It's like, how can we counter some of their like wins so that we can go and take the lead?
That will about wrap it up. Good luck, Eli, for the rest of the swim season, and hopefully you do well and win conference.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, one more time. Who am I here with?
Eli Brindley.
And this is the ASN Coaches Show. Stay tuned for more. 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, senior living from Cardin. Located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, their phone number is 765-778-7501. Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at cowanchiropracticcenter.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Mr. Watson. Now, a little bit of a shorter coaches show today, but it was pretty nice to get to hear from Coach Buck, just break things down a little. It's pretty tough, you know, to be a coach. Your record isn't really where you want it to be, and it's a cold December, finals week. Like I mentioned, it's not a lot on the boys' side, and to have a coach that really balances things out, and you mentioned he went player for player, what they offer and what they've been doing great. Coach Buck is a great motivating coach.
Yeah, and again, as somebody who's been doing this for so long, and Coach Buck is so passionate about the students, you know, knowing all of his background, I mean, he's going to make these players work and they're going to figure some things out and they're going to be more successful. That's how he works. That's how he operates.
Yeah, and then looking at their team, well, it's their stat leader. So Cooper Sims, the junior, leads the team 16 points per game, usually shooting behind the arc, 2 rebounds per game, and an assist and a half per game as well. Right behind him is Hayden Fox, also a junior. Got some junior spotlight. Maybe next year, my senior year, they'll be seniors as well. You might have a nice team. Again, probably still looking behind the arc for the future because not a lot of height in those two guys, but pretty exciting.
Yeah, and having those two guys that you can really build with this year, it can kind of help to solidify them as leaders of the team when they have success now so that they can move into their senior years with that success under their belt.
Yeah, the thing coming into the season, he told me, is like, you know, we don't have a ton of varsity play. The only guy is the next leading scorer, Evan Mazingo, with A. He's a senior. He's the only guy, and about Cooper Sims, too, who has a lot of varsity minutes. And, you know, there's juniors getting varsity minutes now, and maybe some incorporation of sophomores later down the road. That's really helping this team and setting them up for the future. There wasn't too much of that last year. I mean, that's a coach's decision, but it really helps you build on your team and get better and better every year.
Yeah, and I think one of the things to think about that a lot of sports fans fail to recognize is how much better players can get during the year, especially as a high schooler. You know, it's one of those things where you're still practicing every day, you're still playing games, so they're going to get a lot better even throughout this year. I mean, we're talking about 15, 16, 17-year-old boys.
Yeah, and then we're going to preview their next few games. So tomorrow they will play at Garen Catholic, 7:30 tip off, and if you can't make it, we'll be live broadcasting in here. 7:15 is our pregame show, so stay tuned for that tomorrow. So an exciting one there. We already mentioned before, Bryson Cardinal, the senior, leading the way. Garrett Catholic sits at a nice 5-1. Brian Cardinal averages 26-8. It's going to be a tough, tall task for Pendleton Heights.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things that you don't get to see super often. Maybe a little bit more in the Indianapolis area, but like it's one of those players that is worth watching, and it'll be exciting to see how they're tactically coming out against him to combat him and the rest of that Garrett team.
And I am broadcasting that game, so if you want to hear me again, yeah, I'll be on the game. So for the boys, they will play one more game this week, and it will be Saturday, that one at Liberty Christian. Saturday the 21st, we won't be broadcasting that one, sadly, but I believe that one will be at Pendleton Heights, so another great game. Liberty Christian sits at 4-2. Their leading scorer, Kendrick Martin, a sophomore, averages 15 a game, but we're going to move over to the girls' side of things, so for them, you know, they've got a game tonight. It's going to be a tough task. They will play. It looks like Fishers, that one, 7:30, 7:15 pregame show. So just like the other one, we will still be broadcasting this one here. Michael and Aiden on the broadcast tonight. An exciting one there, leading the way for the Lady Arabians. Casey Warfel leads 22 points per game.
Yeah, and it's exciting to see this team play tonight. You know, this Fishers team is strong. They've been strong the last couple of years. And Pendleton, again, has a couple of players that have really started to hit their stride together, really start to gel together, and it'll be exciting to really see it. This could be one of the bigger matchups tonight.
Yeah, senior leading the way for Fishers is Nevaeh Dickeman, 16 points per game, 7 rebounds, and right behind her is a freshman, Riley Schellemer, 14 points per game. Schellemer is one of the longer names I've ever said here on the air, but a senior and a freshman tandem, that's pretty weird. They're getting it done over there in Fishers.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those fun things, and averaging 7 rebounds a game, Nevaeh might be one of the bigger players, again, that we're going to come up against in terms of height, and so it'll be exciting to see two really strong post players battle it out.
You know what I like? I think she is one of those taller players, but you know, something you see sometimes, and especially girls basketball, is like last year for the Pendleton Heights, they had a senior named Skylar Baldwin, who she was not the tallest on the team, but she got a lot of boards. It's about hustle. Yeah. It's about, you know, who's going to get there the quickest. And Skylar Baldwin was one of those players, and Fishers has a few of those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about Dennis Rodman or some of the other great rebounders back in the day. They were really great about reading it off of the backboard and finding their space, not necessarily just out jumping everyone. And that's one of the ways that you can find success when you maybe don't have all the height in the world.
Yeah, and that's definitely a way to attack it if you're a team. So people, everyone has their strong suit, and for some people it's rebounds, some people it's points. Ada Huffer is one of those rebounds and points people. She averages a double-double, 13 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 2 assists. So again, another exciting matchup tonight. This one again at home, 7:30 pregame or 7:30 tip off, 7:15 pregame show, and then they will play Saturday at home versus North Central. That one will be 2:30 tip again versus North Central. 2:15 would normally be our pregame show. I apologize, we are not broadcasting that one. Mistake on my part. But that one again at home versus North Central. So it'll be another great matchup. Both of these girls and boys teams, they're playing some very, very tough opponents, and we'll see as they come along who comes out on top.
Yeah, it gives them good battle testing. They're playing some of these teams out of Indianapolis, and that will be really helpful come conference tournament time.
Well, that will about wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Mr. Watson, for joining me alongside. We had a short staff notice, so you got to step in when you need to. Carrying the boats.
Carrying the boats. You know, when somebody asks you to do it, you got to do it.
There we go. Well, thank you guys all for tuning in. Whether you listen for the whole coaches show or just a little bit of it, means all that it can. Thank you. Thank you to all our sponsors and contributors. And that will about wrap it up. I'm Zion Palmieri, and you are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
In sports, only one team walks away with the W.
Only one team gets the trophy.
And only one player is named MVP.
But that doesn't mean everyone else who competed leaves empty-handed. I'm Allie Ward from Boonville High School.
And I'm Caleb Ferguson from Columbus North High School. In education-based athletics, no matter who comes out on top, every student-athlete walks away having grown as a person.
Every team walks away learning invaluable life lessons.
From responsibility to collaboration to integrity.
We're thankful to have coaches and mentors who always prioritize learning and growing over winning at all costs.
They're helping us build a mentality of development that will benefit us for the rest of our lives.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Knighty. Be a champion of high school sports and the growth mindset they develop by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is the second classroom. This is your IHSAA.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.